Hello and welcome to Quantum Living, a hack to happiness and success. I'm your host, Anna Anderson, speaking with you and with my special guests from the most livable city in the world, Melbourne, Australia. In this cutting-edge and thought-provoking show, you will find information, inspirations, tips, hacks and insights on how to live a happy and fulfilling life in sync with the universe at the intersection of science and spirituality. A unique and mysterious dimension I call quantum living, where we can literally create our reality from within. Everything is energy. We are all connected. We create our life experiences with our thoughts and emotions literally at the quantum level, which manifest in our reality by slowing down their vibrations. When we learn, understand and apply these and many other quantum living principles, a state of good health, happiness, abundance and success becomes a natural way of living. So please join me in my interviews, reflective commentaries, guided meditations, stories and some very practical coaching minis and more. Welcome to Quantum Living. Let the magic begin. Good morning, good evening, wherever you are, across the world and the universe. Thank you for tuning in. This episode is part two of Channeling Your Higher Self, where I continue my insights and reflections on a number of spiritual and some very practical topics, asking questions and allowing the answers to flow to me from my higher self. So, let's continue. Happiness is a state of being simply content with what is, regardless. It is the ability to cope with what our life brings us, or more correctly, what we have created. It cannot be quantified or even qualified. This very simple concept is quite difficult to grasp as long as we keep looking for more and for better. Satisfaction and inner peace come from within. Living on the physical plane, we are being conditioned from day one to achieve, to get more, to become better, to perform. We feel that if we stop the pursuit of what lies ahead, we will be left behind, out of the race, and we'll never get what we want. What do you want? The answer is to be happy. And yet the path we are choosing to get to our happiness is via a labyrinth of digressions from the shortcut. Become a connoisseur of your life. Savor it. Admire its exquisite flavor. Remember that in great part you have already decided what will happen, and only minor corrections will be required. And you do have choice. Use it. Exercise it. And if in doubt, ask your higher self for guidance and support. A door to happiness. Imagine you are in a beautiful, lush, deliciously green garden. You are walking down the white marble path winding between the incredibly dense bushes of the crimson velvety roses, drunk with heavy perfume, bathed in the warm orange rays of the setting sun. You are enjoying your leisurely afternoon stroll, although you feel strangely sad and lonely. Suddenly, the marble path ends abruptly and you find yourself in front of a big, solid wooden door with iron castings. The walls supporting the door are hidden under the cascade of the green-blue ivy protecting its secrets. You've never seen this door here before, although you have walked through this part of the garden many times. As you look closely at the door, trying to figure out where it came from, you notice a white metal plate with something written on it, right in the middle of the door. You look more closely. The black Gothic letters are a bit fuzzy at first, but soon you can read what the sign says. My happiness. You're not sure whether my refers to you or to someone else. You cautiously look around, but there is no one else but you. Shall I open the door? You ponder. It's very tempting. It looks like the answer to your prayers, as you have been very unhappy in recent days, weeks, months, maybe even years. As time passes by, swept into the past by your indecision, a gloriously white and fluffy angel, gently waving his wings, appears by the door, and with a warm gesture, invites you to walk right through it. Reassured, you take the first step towards the door, reaching for the handle, but you hear the angel is saying something. You listen carefully. The words are barely audible, muted, but then they slowly become clearer. Now you understand what the angel is saying. There is a catch. Before you open the door to your happiness, you must know exactly what to expect behind it. You take a deep breath. Why, you ask, somewhat disappointed. Why do I need to know this? Well, the angel explains, if you walk through this door without any expectations, you will find only emptiness behind it. You need to fill this void with the reality that resonates with you at the frequency of your happiness. But how do I know what would make me happy? You say. If I knew, I would find these things here and now. Oh, you don't find happiness, you create it, replies the angel with a big sigh, stretching his wings like people are stretching their arms after a long flight. If you don't know what would make you happy, there is nothing behind this door for you. I mean, total nothingness. Sorry, can't help you. He turns away, clearly getting ready to get back to where he just came from. Hang on. Your sense of reality suddenly wakes up. Why can't you tell me what it is? Or just create my happiness for me? I'm sure you can do that. Oh yes, I can do that, replies the angel with a growing irritation in his voice, as if losing his angelic patience, which is unheard of. That's not the point. I can't tell you what your happiness is. So, I can't open this door unless I know what should be there behind it? You whisper, hoping for some reassurance. Nope, the angel replies coldly, examining his impeccably groomed feathers, unperturbed by your dilemma. But once I know what makes me happy and create my happiness here and now, you say, imitating his mentoring tone, I won't need to open this door or any other door to happiness, as I will already be happy, you exclaim, proudly basking in the glow of this sudden enlightenment. The angel looks at you attentively, with a spark in his crystal blue eyes, and a big smile slowly warms up his angelic face. But of course, he says, once you've got the key to happiness, who needs the door? There comes a time when our capabilities, our understanding, skills, talents, knowledge, wisdom and experience overflow the chalice of personal achievement and contribution, forming the soul's obligation, a responsibility to utilize those gifts in service to others. At that point, you cannot not serve and remain in hiding, as the universal law becomes clear. it is every human's spiritual obligation to use their gifts for the benefit of others. Writers need to write to delight us with beautiful stories and great wit, inspiring our imagination. Musicians, singers, and composers need to create music to fill our hearts with love, hope, tender emotions, and inspiration. Great leaders must lead and inspire others to become more than they think they can. Inspiration. That's what it comes down to. What does it mean to be inspired? Inspiration is a high-frequency information that comes from the spirit, from your higher self, an insight, an idea, a high energy and light feeling that drives you to create something great. It literally raises the frequency of your personal energy. When inspired, your energy is aligned with the spirit, all that is, the creator, the quantum field, the place you came from, your spiritual home. I invite you, every person listening to this, to take stock of your gifts, your skills, understandings, abilities, experience, knowledge, wisdom, talents, everything that you could share with others for their benefit, for the greater good. Then ask yourself, is my chalice of personal achievement, growth and contribution full? If not, you must overflow it and share as your product or service or free of charge. But share it. Don't keep it all to yourself. You will soon notice that your gifts are like the horn of abundance. The more you give, the more you receive, and the more you have to share again. Let's now talk about emotions. Feelings or emotions are chemical reactions in your brain in response to thoughts. An emotion is, if you like, an organic representation of the nature of your thought. For example, when you think of someone who is very dear to you, your body will flood with love. When you think of tomorrow's exam, for which you are not quite prepared, your body will flood with anxiety and fear. When you think of a blind date that your friend has set up for you in an hour, your body will flood with anticipation and excitement. When you think of how blessed you are right now, in this very moment, with all that you have in your life, your body will flood with gratitude. An emotion can be linked to your thoughts about the past, future, or the now. But it needs to originate from a thought, which could be as simple and as profound as, I am. And so, choose the right thought to create particular feeling in your body. If you want to feel unconditional love, think of a child or a cute animal, perhaps your pet. If you like animals, and most people do. By the way, the spiritual role of all animals on this plane is precisely that, to open our hearts with love. It works like a charm. Whenever I want to feel more love, especially in difficult, challenging, or frustrating moments in my life, I will consciously think of cute baby animals, or watch YouTube videos of funny pets, Mama Giraffe kissing her cute little baby, or animal rescues. Identify what and who opens your heart or evokes other emotions you want to feel, such as peace, and use an image and thought of that when you want to feel this emotion. Finally, because emotions come from thoughts, many people, especially men who tend to suppress their emotions, are unable to separate the two. When I work with people in my coaching programs, that's a very common issue that comes up. When I ask the person, what do you think about this? They will give me the answer. I then ask, okay, So, how do you feel about this? The person will look at me somewhat confused, with a glazed look, saying, That's one and the same. What I feel is what I think, and what I think is what I feel. I'll give you an example dialogue to illustrate my point. You said you are unhappy in your current job. What do you think about leaving it? I think it would be not a good move in my current circumstances. Too difficult to look for another job. Okay, so how do you feel about it? As I said, not good, too hard and too risky. That's what you think. But how do you feel about this? My thinking and my feeling are one and the same, no difference. However, when probed further about their feelings, the person will finally say something like, I think it would be difficult, and I will have to sort out my finances, and I feel a bit of apprehension, but I also have a sense of freedom and peace when I think of not having to go to the office and do this job which I really hate. In this way, for the first time, they are separating their thinking and feeling about the same situation. Be aware of these two aspects, thought and emotion, which are linked and yet are separate at the same time, as when you are able to separate them, you will gain clarity of the situation you are facing and will be able to make wiser decisions. This theme, coming up in many different versions and contextual settings, is essentially about a hero who needs to go through a dangerous cave or forest full of dragons and devils to reach their goal. A treasure, a secret jewel, a beautiful princess, a gem that will give them the power of gods, the Holy Grail. A wise man, giving the hero guidance and advice prior to his journey, warns him that as long as he keeps walking on the path, looking straight ahead and without fear, regardless of the dragons and monsters jumping right next to him, trying to kill him with their huge teeth and fire, he will be safe and will get to his destination, as nothing and no one will be able to touch him. If, however, he looks down, the path is often suspended over a bottomless pit, or succumbs to fear, panics and stops walking, and believes that these threats are real, the dragons and monsters will get him and he will die. There is great wisdom in this story. Be greater than your environment. Maintain your focus on what you are manifesting, regardless of everything and everyone around you being something else for the time being, telling you that your vision or goal is unrealistic and will never happen. Regardless of your doubts and fears, raising their ugly heads trying to bite you and spit fire on you. Regardless of your reality being a total disconnect from what you are already living in your heart. Keep looking straight ahead and keep walking towards your secret treasure with a pure heart of courage and gratitude, and nothing will be able to stop you. Living on the physical plane is one of the most difficult schools you will ever have to go through in your evolution as a soul. The limitations of the physical form and the 3D dimension put a great strain on the soul, which is accustomed to a much easier and simpler and more enjoyable existence. That's why all living creatures, which are incarnated consciousnesses, including humans, must sleep. What happens to you when you sleep? Sleep is a temporary reprieve from the struggles of life. The rest takes place on two levels. On the physical level, when your body undergoes repair, replenishment, recovery from sickness, and gets proper rest, an overnight overhaul, if you like. The second level is spiritual rest. It is equally important as your soul retreats to the higher dimensions, the astral, mental, and spiritual planes, where it can briefly enjoy the non-physical freedom. But that's not all. Most of you must sleep even more productively. You attend classes, consult with your guides and teachers, discussing with them your progress and seeking advice. It is then when you often decide on a subtle or more dramatic change in your life, which may be out of schedule, so to speak. You can also meet with other souls with whom you interact on the physical plane. For example, if you are to meet someone important who will influence your life and vice versa, you will often meet in sleep to recognize your mutual energies when the physical encounter takes place. When something bad happens, things don't go according to your plan, your life's agenda suddenly changes and you find yourself on a brand new track, confused, in pain. What do you do? When you lose a loved one, or lose a job, an income, your partner leaves you, your home is destroyed, you get very ill, or something similar happens out of the blue. What do you do? Your life stops. I mean, what do you do? It is all good and dandy to listen to all the good advice and tools and techniques and coaching and counseling on how to pull yourself by the bootstraps when the world as you know it has ended. You are trapped in quicksand and you don't even have the bootstraps to pull yourself by. All the practice and resilience and all the learnings from the hundreds of books and seminars and coaches go out the window. What do you do? When you have cried out all your tears, lashed out all your anger, shut down all your emotions to numb yourself so that you no longer feel the pain, what do you do? What can you do to continue living? There is only one pathway you can take. You ask for help and trust. You ask for help within, ask your higher self, which is your connection to all that is. Ask and you shall receive. Then ask for help those around you, anyone. All you need to do is ask for help. And then trust the process. That's all. Ask for help and trust that is already on its way. That help may be practical if that's what you need in your circumstances. But most importantly, you need to ask for help to get through the darkness that has no end in sight, the darkness of your soul, the light at the end of the tunnel, the hope and courage to make sense out of what makes no sense at all. You are loved. You are good enough. You do matter. But don't take my word for it. Ask your higher self. That's all for today, folks. If you like this episode, please share it with others. You can also subscribe to this show on iTunes and on my website. And if you really love it, please post a review on iTunes to encourage others to listen to it. And if you'd like to dive deeper into quantum living and apply its principles to your personal circumstances, you might be interested in my customized quantum living coaching program delivered online. For details and contact, please visit my website at quantumliving.com.au. You will also find there, in the blog section, the show notes for this and other episodes. I'm your host, Anna Anderson. Thank you for listening. Until next time, be well.